You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. This is a live recording from the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference.
Hi, this is Leah Eden with heritageradionetwork.org. We are here at the Roger Smith Hotel for the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, and I'm here today with Grace Young, who the New York Times recently called the Stir Fry Guru. That is the most wonderful nickname ever. I want one for myself. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We're so excited to have you in the studio today.
Well, actually, I have several nicknames. The Washington Post calls me the Walk Queen. Chow.com calls me the Walk Evangelist. But my favorite comes from Betty Fussell, the food historian, who calls me the Poet Laureate of the Walk.
Oh, that's lovely. So how did that become such a part of your identity? When did the walk enter your life?
Though I'm Chinese American, and so I've grown up with walks around me from the time I was little. But I've really had an obsession and a love affair with the walk for, I would say, 20, 30 years. And today, I really feel that traditional walk cooking is really becoming, it's really at risk of being extinct. And it's a really sad statement because Chinese cooking has been in existence for over 2,000 years. And I call the wok the iron thread that has held together Chinese cooking. And it's at risk of being extinct in the home kitchen. It will never be extinct in a restaurant kitchen. But sadly, when you go into Chinatown these days, most stores carry nonstick woks and not the traditional carbon steel or cast iron.
So tell us a little bit about why those stores aren't selling the traditional wok anymore.
I think it is modern marketing that home cooks are being convinced that nonstick cookware is going to be healthier, they're going to use less fat. But the sad thing is the traditional carbon steel and cast iron wok is what I call ancient nonstick cookware. And like a cast iron skillet, the more you cook with it, the less oil you need because it creates a natural patina. So these people are being, I would say, brainwashed, just as it happened in America, because look what happened to cast iron skillets in this country. This beautiful tradition disappeared. So so the reason I'm a wok evangelist, I'm the wok crusader, is because I really want to preserve these traditions. I think it's really important. And when you cook food in a wok, it's incredible, especially when you stir fry. Most people think of the wok as a stir fry pan, but there are 8 different cooking techniques you can do in a wok. But of course, stir frying is quintessentially the best technique for using a wok. And that quick heat, the way the pan, a carbon steel pan, conducts the heat, that high heat, quick cooking, tumbling of ingredients in the well of the wok creates a flavor and taste that is so unusual and delectable. The Chinese actually call it, in Cantonese, wok hei, or the breath of the wok. It's the essence. It's the mojo of the wok, of a stir fry, and it is a concentrated taste and flavor and fragrance of the wok that is really distinct. I always say to people, it's like food right off the grill. As soon as you eat it off the grill, there is a smoky essence that is really what makes a great barbecue dish. But if you wait for a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then it dissipates.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I see that. I like the way you've kind of compared it to the grill, where the piece of equipment, the grill itself or the wok itself, almost adds like a flavoring to
it. Does add a flavor, yeah,
to the meal.
Which you'll never get with stainless steel and never ever with nonstick cookware.
So how many woks do you have in your house?
I don't officially speak about that because I don't want my husband to know, but I have woks.
Are they hidden from him?
A lot of them are. In my next lifetime, I'm going to collect something like chopstick rests or chopsticks.
Something quite a bit smaller.
Yeah, because the woks are really hard. I have one always on the stovetop. I have a few stashed in the oven. I have a drawer full of woks. Actually, Fine Cooking is featuring my kitchen in their February-March issue right now, but I have a special cabinet with woks. There are more woks, unbeknownst to my husband, under our bed. And then I have a huge plastic tub under my office desks that more walks or stash. Because when I'm traveling, I'm always sort of enticed by a beautiful walk.
Right. Oh,
they're works of art. They really are.
So how, you know, I have a vision in my mind of what a walk looks like. But as you're traveling either throughout the states or throughout the world, do walks look quite different from each other? Are there different styles, different kinds of walks? Or are they
There are different styles. I mean, my most treasured walks are the ones that I have found in Shanghai. There's an amazing walk artisan who hand pounds walks. And that is a walk of art. I mean,
the wordplay is
You can go. It's walkerific. Yes, it's. It's just beautiful. It's also amazing to cook with a hand pounded wok. But this is a art form that's really dying. Mm. It's really hard to find a wok artisan anymore. And I discovered this gentleman in the maybe 2000 when I first went. When I went to Shanghai with my parents, it wasn't the first time I went to China, but it's just a thing of beauty. He makes the pow wok, which is the northern style wok. It's a round bottom wok with a hollow metal handle, and he also makes the Cantonese style wok, which is round bottom with the two ear shaped handles. And they are, you've never seen anything like them. But I've also been to wok factories where when the owner of the factory hands me a wok at the end, I can't say no. So I have spun carbon steel woks. There was an interview that I did in China with a wonderful home cook who had switched to a nonstick wok, and she brought out her carbon steel wok that she had used for 35 years and told me that she was going to throw it into the garbage. And so I took that wok. It's just amazing. The thing is, in the West, everything that's new is what you want. Mm-hmm. You want the latest computer, latest cell phone, latest camera, latest television set, car. But when it comes to a wok, you don't want the new ones. You can't buy a wok that someone has used for 10, 20, 30 years that has the amazing patina.
Right.
So I just couldn't believe, and I'm sure she regrets it now. Because
right.
It just doesn't cook the same.
That history.
No, you don't.
Huh. Well, Grace, I know you recently had a book, Stir Frying to the Sky's Edge, which won the James Beard Foundation's Best International Cookbook Award, I hear. Will you tell us a little bit about that book, kind of the history of why you decided to write it and what someone could expect from inside?
Sure. I think that most people in America are familiar with the term of stir frying. They eat stir fries in restaurants and love them, but when it comes to making it themselves, they're really frustrated with the results. I think they generally get a soggy braise. And it's very simple to stir fry in the home kitchen, but there are some tips and adjustments you need to make for the fact that an American stove is not as powerful as what you have in a Chinese home kitchen. Mm. And so I compiled what I think are the most delicious and easy stir fry recipes to make, but also tons of tips and secrets for little things that you need to do to make sure that your stir fry is going to turn out great. And just to give you an example, I think most people don't realize that you need to put in dry vegetables. If you put in wet vegetables that are wet into a wok that's been heated perfectly, what you're going to do is take down the temperature of the wok immediately, because that excess moisture is going to turn the stir fry into a soggy braise. This doesn't happen in a restaurant kitchen or most home stoves in China because they're set at a higher heat, and so that water evaporates immediately. I see a lot of recipes in this country for stir fries where someone tells you to stir fry 2 pounds of chicken. But if you put more than 1 pound of chicken in your wok, again, you take down the temperature and it won't brown and sear, and you'll never get the wok aroma. So you can't overfill your wok. And most people don't tell you about the importance of the right pan. It's not just that it has to be carbon steel, but you must use a flat bottom carbon steel wok, and it must be 14 inches. 12 inches is too small. It's going to crowd the food. 16 inches is available in Chinatown, but that's really meant for a restaurant, and you'll never be able to heat it enough. So there are a ton more tips, but there are lots of just teeny adjustments you need to know that will make and guarantee that your stir fry will be great.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what is... I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that you make stir fry in your own home sometimes.
All the time. Okay. Yes, yes.
Do you have a favorite recipe or a favorite kind of mix of ingredients that you like to cook yourself?
I do. I think the simplest way for people to start is with a classic vegetable stir fry, because you're not going to get any sticking at all. All you need is like a tablespoon of two or of a high smoking point oil like peanut oil, grapeseed, canola oil. It's really important to preheat the pan first. Mm-hmm. And the way I test the temperature of the pan is to flick a drop of water, and the moment it evaporates, that's when you know it's hot enough. I'm cooking on high heat. I swirl in a little peanut oil. And then I'll add just a little shy of maybe a pound of, you could do bok choy, you could do spinach, you could even do lettuce, mm-hmm. which is very, it has symbolic good fortune meaning for New Year's and for birthdays, because it sounds like rising fortunes. The pronunciation of the word for lettuce in Cantonese is the same as rising fortunes. And then you just sprinkle in a little salt and stir fry it for about a minute until the vegetable turns bright green. And you swirl in a little rice wine. And if you don't have it, it can be dry sherry with a little bit of soy sauce and maybe a half a teaspoon of roasted sesame oil, and stir fry it for another minute or two. And that is, and then the vegetable is still crunchy. Mm-hmm. It has that bright green color, but all the flavor is just sort of concentrated. And there's nothing more sublime than that.
Oh, that sounds incredibly delicious. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about stir fry is that it can be created in so many different varieties. And it's something that, you know, as you said, people can make it their own. And so I'm glad that we had a chance to speak with you and make sure that everyone knows that to make a stir fry, you have to have the right wok.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Grace Young, for chatting with us here at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. Visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, for all of our 30-plus weekly podcasts. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.